you know, I think if I'm anything, I'm dutiful. And then, so now I go, okay, maybe I have been given a great grace from God because I am tending to the very flock he gave me, which is my kids and my wife, my mother, my brother. Yeah, I mean, I guess we shouldn't belittle those things, should we?
That's correct. And duty is very important, but don't let the duty become such a straitjacket that you can't go off the thing. Always remember, in times of crises, you always may have to do the little extra. And it's so therefore, we do the duty, but then we're always having an antenna to be waiting for something that needs to be done, especially if the Holy Ghost is inspiring us to do something, that we could be actually an instrument to help someone, to alleviate someone's sufferings.
Well, Father, that was a wonderful hour and some really great explanations. And I think I believe it will fully steer people into having probably the best Lent they've ever had. So thanks for coming on the True Money Show. And we'll catch up with you again in another season where we can talk about maybe some more joyful things. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
All right, Father. God bless you. And thanks for coming on the True Money Show. Well, that's my good friend, Father Jeffrey Jambon, and I told you he's always a wonder to talk to. He's always a gift to talk to, and it's just because there's how do you describe it? I don't want to demean it any. It's like there's never anything unreal about it. It's always very personal. It's always very real. It's always very neighborly. It's very fatherly. But it never seems like it's, and I hate to put it in the terms where it sounds like I'm demeaning the church, but it never sounds like it's being preachy. Never sounds like it's being browbeating. I mean, he'll punch you in the face if he needs to. He did Mike Church, but that's because at that point, Father knew exactly what was needed for that circumstance. And so he gave the Christian response that was required. So those are the kind of things you expect from Father Jambon. Check out the Benedictines of Mary in Gower, Missouri, and their second house in Ava, Missouri. Father's there at Ava. You can support them directly if you care to. You, like I said, there's also CDs you can buy. They're beautiful music from the nuns. And, you know, here at the Crusade Channel, we, of course, are trying to keep a radio station alive, and we'd love to have the support of everybody that listens to us and participates in our chat room and the like. But we're not scared to tell people to support other people because it's foolhardy. We're trying to bring all the disparate groups together so at one time we can fight the evil that is around us. And so all men and women of goodwill, you need to unite. And if that means supporting, I don't know, a dozen apostolates, we say go for it to the point that you can. And then if you can't, if you say, hey, I can only give to my parish church, if that's all you can do, that's fine because we get that. So what you do next is you get on your knees and you pray and say, God, send them other aids. So always, always lead with prayer and end with prayer to help the crusade continue on. 844-527-8723 is how you call in. Here I am, David Simpson, on the True Money Show, Crusade Channel, last live radio station standing. I have my email tree open. I did get an email from Miles. Thank you, Miles. I will read that in just a minute because he is talking about answering my financial question of the day, which is, do you plan on adding to your penance, your penitential season with more prayers, more fasting, what almsgiving, what does that look like to you? And if you want to look at it in a different perspective, you might say, what am I going to do to overcome some of my vices? What am I going to do to overcome some of the times that I feel tempted? How do I fight those bad inclinations in my life through these activities that we do, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. So maybe you can look at it that way. I'll read Miles' answer in just a minute. Okay. So I told you a little different of a show today, less financially And we did that little poem on death by John Donne, Death Be Not Proud, that someone has conquered death. It's not a fear to us. Death has no reason to be proud because it doesn't end us, doesn't beat us. We go on, right? But let me tell you what's at the other side of this thing, right? I'm calling this a little piece of heaven. So this is a wonderful little book called The Challenge of Faith. And what it really is, so you remember our philosophy teacher that Mike and I used to do the philosophy course every Wednesday night. And the philosophy teacher was actually Brother Francis Malouf. And we would just then discuss what was discussed by Brother on about the philosophy lectures. Well, Brother wrote this book. It's really a collection of his little concise statements of meditations that he's had, right? And he did meditations on various topics, and one of the meditations was on heaven. And so you go, David, why are you talking about death and death be not proud? And you're talking about all these penances to do, and you and Father are talking about burying your brother. Man, that's morbid. What's wrong with you guys? That what's your fascination? Well, it's not a fascination. Again, this is Ash Wednesday. It's an annual memento mori, remembrance of death for every Christian, every Catholic, right? We're supposed to call to mind daily those four last things, death, judgment, heaven, hell. Why? Because we know it's our end. And when we die, we're going to be judged, and we're going to end up in if it's a particular judgment, one of three places, heaven, purgatory, or hell. If it's the general judgment, the last judgment, the final judgment, it'll be you got two choices, heaven and hell. You don't even have that third place where you might save yourself, right? Or someone save you, help, do penances for you, rather. Anyway, that's why. It's been really heavy on my mind, because I said I went to three funerals in January. Three. Two of them were younger than me. One of them substantially younger. If that doesn't bring to mind a very important fact of death, nothing will. But again, that's not the fascination. The fascination is the overcoming of death. That's what Christianity is all about. That someone conquered death for us. That's our Lord Christ, right? Someone beat the prince of this world. Death has no power over us now, or at least it can be relinquished or ameliorated completely, because we can have salvation now, which is the end. That's what I want to talk about now, heaven. And this is Brother Francis's few little snippets on heaven. I'm going to read them one by one. I'll make a commentary if I desire, I guess. But here is number one. We have only one business on earth, to make earth our way to heaven. Do we think about that way? When you wake up in the morning, are you really thinking about just going to work? And I do. I'm not knocking you if you do. About going to work to make the money, to buy the beef, to feed the kids. And then, you know, it becomes a habit, right? Sometimes we fall in these bad thought processes just by habit. That's what we think, right? I'm going to go, hey, honey, I'll go earn the bacon, bring it home, right? Well, that's not the way we should really be looking at life first thing in the morning. We have only one business on earth, to make earth our way to heaven. If we thought about it that way, I think even our work would be lighter. Number two, no human act is truly virtuous unless it can bear this label, heaven bound. Man, I could go to each one of these and say, you know, do we think of every act? Father was talking about keeping the proper perspective on your almsgiving, and one of them is just doing your duties. He says, but don't think your duties supersede everything. Don't forget that if something in front of you needed to get done and you're the guy to do it, you should jump in. I have a little saying, a little thing I wrote at the bottom of my prayers, a little prayer card I have in my missal. It says, I say to myself, to remind myself, never miss an opportunity to love. That, I think it's what Father was talking about. Some great chance to help someone sitting right in front of my face. If I ignore that because I go, I got something important to do, I probably just failed as a Christian. And my act was not an act that bared the label heaven-bound. Here's another one. Wherever we are, whatever we may be engaged in, heaven must remain our direction. Boy, Brother really must have meditated on these a long time to come up with these just so simple and concise statements. Number four, all natural virtue must be raised to the order of grace. Otherwise, it has nowhere to go. Think about that. What if you really are becoming virtuous naturally? Like you have habits of good conduct. You're like a pretty good dude, right? Or dudette or bristette, right? You're pretty good, naturally speaking. You habitually do good stuff, but you haven't raised it to that charitable level, that almsgiving level of love, true charity. And if you haven't, Brother says, then your virtues have nowhere to grow any higher, any better, and you'll probably start falling backwards. Number five, every act of creation is accompanied with an intention. For an intelligent creature, the difference between heaven, no heaven, and no heaven. It's the same as the difference between fulfillment and frustration, or between success and failure. Number six, to reach heaven, we seek God, follow after Jesus, imitate the saints, join the society of the angels, live loyally, and die well. There's that death idea. I like this one. The Our Father and the Hail Mary are prayers for heaven. So he says, quote, Our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, pray for us, Mary, now and at the hour of our death. Why pray at the hour of our death? Oh, I know. So God will be merciful to us, so when we die and get judged, we can go to heaven. The last one on this thing, my little thing I'm calling a little piece of heaven, a little meditation on the why we do any of these things. And we've given it a word called heaven, and I think sometimes it loses its luster because everybody thinks, oh, it's just some, you know, you're sitting on a cloud up there. It's not that. It's the beatific vision, and it's the end of all of our desires. I mean, it's hard to even describe these things. We lose words, right? It's the end. When you think about any time you're frustrated, anytime you really want something, anytime you really go, what's the meaning of all this? All those things wrapped up, and you say, wait, there is actually one answer. It's the creator, it's the person who made you, it's the one who's calling your heart back. And that's heaven. I mean, that's what we call heaven. But again, we lose words. We call it the beatific vision. We call it salvation. We call it heaven. But all of those are just different angles of the same thing. But brother is trying to analyze it more deeply into what it really means. So here's this last one. If going to heaven is the greatest good, then showing the way to heaven is the greatest work of charity. Now, again, going to heaven, the greatest good, that's a great way of expressing it. It still is lacking because we can't. What does St. Paul say? Eye hath not seen nor ear heard the wonders that God has in store for you in heaven. The greatest good. What is that greatest good? I mean, I can get a vague conception of it. But I will tell you this. If you meditate on death as we did today in Ash Wednesday, your memento mori, and you start meditating on what heaven really means, well, or you can go negative and say, what does hell really mean? Either one, but I prefer to do the positive. Meditate on what heaven really means. Do you really want to miss out on the greatest good? And don't you want everyone else to have it too? Well, there's your motive for evangelization and your motive for moral rightness. 844-527-8723. I know it's a strange financial show, Dave. Hey, Dave, there's no money talk. Well, I talked about money earlier. I gave you a little stuff about valuations and the like. But you see how that starts to pale in comparison? It's almost, it's boring, Dave. You're right. Finance is boring compared to heaven and hell, right? It's boring compared to the beauties of the faith. It is. I admit it. I readily admit it. That's why maybe the True Money Show, if I start doing more shows per week, maybe the True Money Show will be like only one day. It'll be Tuesday's True Money. And then on the other days, I can talk about all this other stuff that I really like to talk about. How do you like that idea? All right, 844-527-8723. This is David Simpson, the financial guru to the stars on the Crusade Channel, the last live radio station. Sandin, that's the famous whistle talk that I have copyrighted here on the True Money Show. What are we going to do about this day in money history? This is, you want money talk? Here you go. I got some money talk for you. On February 17th, 2000, a mere 21 years ago, listen to this. The total trading volume for the day on the NASDAQ tops 2 billion, that's B with a B, 2 billion shares for the first time. And the NASDAQ Composite Index closes above 4,500 for the first time, finishing the day at 4,548. Well, here's an interesting fact. That month, February 2000, the NASDAQ topped its highest ever up to that point of $4,696.69. About a year, a year and a half later, not quite, a little bit more than a year and a half later, by September 2002, it had lost 75% of its value. dropping from $4,696 to $1,172. This is the great tech wreck of 2000 to 2002. It basically lost 28.14% per year for that duration of time.